The last few weeks we've been talking about spiritual disciplines, and more specifically we've been talking about holiness lived out. Last Sunday, as I lay at home not feeling very well, this strong sense came over me, and I just needed to divert from holiness lived out for today. And if you've looked in the bulletin already, you've seen the title is called Home. What's the first thing you think about when I say home? Heaven. That's what I'm thinking too. I know that's not always the natural thought when we say home. Sometimes it's home cooking. Sometimes it's your recliner. After a day like yesterday, sometimes it's a cold shower. And I know that not always when we think of the word home do we think of heaven, but I've been thinking about heaven. And when I think of home, when I think of heaven, I'm starting to think about home. And I want to draw our attention to that fact today, because you see, brothers and sisters, if you have made a decision for Jesus Christ, if you have admitted you are a sinner like I have and believed in Christ Jesus as Lord and received Him as your Lord, your home is not going to be Leader, Motley, Staples, Verndale, Pillager, Cushing, or anything else around us. Your home is going to be heaven. It's only a matter of time, but our home is going to be heaven. And so I want to draw our attention to that for a few minutes today, and I'm going to look at some scripture. We may not have time to look at it in detail, but I wanted to mention to us again, the Bible talks a great deal about heaven. It talks about our future home. And I remember David Jeremiah saying one time in his Heaven series, he said this, a whole lot of people talking about heaven ain't going there. They haven't made preparations. And so I want us to recognize today, friends, that heaven is our home when we have made preparations. Jesus is the preparation. And I don't mean a casual head knowledge about Jesus. I mean a surrendered heart, a surrendered life to Jesus Christ as Lord. And one day, for all of eternity, our address will be heaven. Amen? That's the facts. And so I want to look at today for a few minutes, Revelation 4, in a little passage that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and a little passage that Paul wrote to Timothy. And so if you've got your Bible, I want to look at Revelation 4. You see, John got a glimpse of heaven. John's not the only one, but John gives us some detail. When you look at the Old Testament, you see people like Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel. They got a glimpse of the throne room of God. And John gets a little more of a glimpse here in Revelation chapter 4, and he gives us a little description of this throne room of God. And I just want to remind us today that it's a real place. It's a real place that God has prepared for His people. And it's a good place, brothers and sisters. It's a glorious place. It's a place that we can't even describe. And John gives a little attempt here to describe the throne room of God. Revelation 4, verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow all around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were these 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And so John sees this glimpse. He gets this glimpse of the throne room of God. I believe too glorious, too wonderful even to give us proper description in Revelation 4. Before the throne, verse 6, there was this sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures. Verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night. What is their purpose? To cry, holy, holy, holy. Why? Because God is worthy of that kind of praise. If the people of earth will not give Him praise, He has creatures around His throne who give Him praise. Morning, noon, and night, all day long. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, those 24 elders fall down before Him who sit on the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. You see, brothers and sisters, I read this little passage today just to remind us that John saw the throne room of God. It's a real place. And you might say, and I've heard people say, is that all there is? Worshiping at the throne of God? No, that ain't all there is, but that's a start. We're going to be in the presence of the living God. We're going to be in the presence of Jesus, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. We're going to be in the presence of sinless perfection. We're going to be there a long time if we have made right with God through faith in Christ. That will be our home. Philippians 3, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or can already or am already perfected, but I press on. He's pressing on in life. And the church today, brothers and sisters, we need to press on. We need to press on that we may too lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold for us. We need to press on in everyday living, because the world will gobble you up. The adversary will consume you. We need to press on in our Christian journey and lay hold of what Christ Jesus has for us. Brethren, 13, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I forget about all that stuff in my past. I forget about all the luxuries I had. I forget about all the difficulties, and I press on to lay hold of what Jesus has for me. I press on to lay hold of heaven and to see Jesus face to face. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, I look around us, and I've been guilty of this too. We spend a lifetime on earth here making ourselves comfortable. This world is not our home. Amen? We spend a lifetime of trying to make ourselves more comfortable, and to amuse ourselves, and to please ourselves, and to get feeling good about ourselves. This world is not our home if we have trusted Christ. Heaven is our home. And Paul said, I press towards that. I keep striving towards that to lay hold of what God has in store for me. You see, friends, Paul knew someday in the not too distant future, his home would be heaven. He knew that. He knew that he needed to press toward the goal for the prize. He knew that he was living for the Lord. He knew that his home was heaven. And when we have made peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, that's our reality too. Sometimes we live like this is our eternal home, and so we got to have all the comforts and all the good things, but this is not our home. Heaven is our home. My address today is still 12386 Trout Lane, Motley. Your address is something else. But brothers and sisters, our address for eternity is heaven. And it's time the church lives today like our address is going to be heaven. It's time for us to be led by the Holy Spirit, like I've been saying in these last weeks. Holiness lived out. It's time for the church of America and the church of the world to live like heaven is our home. Paul knew that. The first century Christians knew that. And we know it from Scripture too. Our homes may be nice here. Matter of fact, they are nice. They're better than most of the people on the entire planet. But this world is not our home. And Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. He was in prison. He was in chains. And he knew death was right around the corner. Not because he was an old man. He was getting along in years a little bit. not because he had some disease or affliction. He was in prison and he knew time was running out. And here's what he said. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Friends, are you keeping the faith today? The time of our departure may be at hand. Are we keeping the faith today? He goes on to say, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You see what Paul is saying? He's saying, glory, I'm headed home. That's what he's saying. I'm headed home. He didn't put any value in his life. He didn't put any value in the luxuries of today. He said, finally, I'm headed home. And so, friends, I want us to be reminded today, this world is not our home. We have an eternal home that awaits us. Every single person on earth has an eternal destination somewhere that's going to last a whole lot longer than our houses here of today. Every single person has an eternal destination somewhere. It's just a matter of what we've done with Jesus that determines where. I've told you this many times, but let me just say it once more. You see, friends, heaven's not automatic just because we die. You say, Jim, what do you mean? I've done lots and lots and lots and lots of funerals already. And almost every single time I'm at a funeral, there's someone in the crowd milling around, and our hearts are heavy at funerals. Don't get me wrong. We've lost our loved one, and our hearts are heavy. But the statement is always, always, always laid out there. They're in a better place now. At every funeral. But friends, unless we have made right with Jesus, we're not going to a better place for our eternal home. We need to get ready. We need to make preparation. Heaven is automatic when we have lived for Jesus. That's when it's automatic. When we have recognized we are a sinner that needs a Savior. And when we repent and confess our sins and invite Christ to come into our lives, it's a new day. Remember, we saw that in the last 2-3 weeks. It's a new day and we're on a new journey. We say no to the old ways and we say yes to Jesus. It's a new day. Heaven is automatic when we have lived for Jesus. But if we've never gotten around to live, to acknowledge Christ as Lord, and live for Him, heaven isn't automatic. Jesus is clear about that. Most people realize that there is a hereafter. Most people agree that there is something more. They may think reincarnation. They may think heaven is automatic. They may think something. But most everybody agrees there is something hereafter. Friends, I'm here to tell you that the Word of God, I believe, is true. And there is something hereafter. It's called heaven if we've made peace with God through faith in Jesus. Heaven is our home. But if we have not, then heaven is not going to be our home. I know that you have lived in many homes, many of you. I have lived in many homes. I have loved my homes. When I was a child, I loved my parents' home because my parents were there. When Sherry and I were first married, I loved our little 12 by 60 trailer house. It was made in 1968 with red carpet. Peace together. I loved it because my beloved was there. As we grew and owned a different trailer house, our three children were born, and I loved our home because our children were there. And I love my home today because my children and my beloved and my grandchildren are there. But this is not our home. Are you hearing me today, friends? This is not our home. We can get real comfortable here. And we can get so comfortable we wonder if is heaven even necessary. This world is not our home. I have loved my homes and you've loved yours, but my home is heaven. And someday I'm going to see Jesus face to face, because not because I'm better than anybody else, because I've realized I'm a sinner that needs a Savior, and I've called out to Jesus Christ as Lord. I have said, like Matthew and Peter and Andrew and James and John and the rest of them, when he said, "Come follow me," I said, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow you." Heaven is our home if we have made preparations. Some of us are close to home. Are you hearing me today? Some of us are close to home. You may not know it, and I may not know it. Some of us may be closer because we're a little longer in years, or maybe we're a little sicker. Some of us may be close to home, and we don't know it. But we're close to home. We're close to our eternal home. We're one breath away. Every one of us. Some of us are ready to go home to be with Jesus forever, and that's going to be our permanent address. Some of us aren't. Some of us haven't realized the importance of getting right with Jesus. Some of us make excuses. "Well, I still got time, Jim. Well, I believe in God." But if we don't take that head knowledge and apply it to our hearts, friends, we're not ready. We must be born again, Jesus said. We must be born in the Spirit. We must be surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. Not just know about Him. Some of us are close to home. Let me just close with a little story that David Jeremiah told also in his Heaven series. It's a story about a lady. It's a true story. It's a story about a lady named Ruth Anna Metzger. Some of you that saw the Heaven series by David Jeremiah know the story. So forgive me for that. But this story is about Ruth Anna Metzger, who was a professional singer in the Seattle area. And Ruth was invited to sing at a very, very prestigious wedding. This wedding reception was going to be at the top of Columbia Tower, overlooking the entire city. There was all kind of money being spent, all kinds. And Ruth was preparing for singing the songs that she would sing. And she got to this beautiful wedding, lavish. And she sang. And I suppose she did a wonderful job. And she gathered up her husband when the wedding was over and off to the reception at the top of Columbia Tower so they could see the beauty of the reception, the beauty of the gowns. They could see the beauty of the city at the top of Columbia Tower. And so her and her husband proceeded up where these waiters were there with the book. And as each couple or person or family would come, they'd say, "Name, please." And they'd give their names. And she said, "My name is Ruth Anna Metzger. This is my husband." Whatever his name was, I can't remember. And he began to look down through there and look some more. And he said, "What did you say your name was? I can't seem to find it." And she said, "Well, I was the choir. I was the one that sang in the wedding. I can't find your name in the book." And so the waiters that were in charge of the book and verifying that everybody that got into the reception was in the book ushered over a couple of more. And he said, "Usher these folks over to the elevator and push basement for the parking garage, because they're not in the book. They're not coming." And so Ruth Ann, who had just sung at the wedding, and her husband were escorted to the elevator, got in, and he pushed B for basement to the parking garage. This is a true story. And on the way home, husband never said anything. He knew she was hurt, and he never said anything. And finally, Ruth Anna began to cry. And he said, "Ruth, what happened?" "Well," she said, "I had the RSVP, but I never sent it in. I got busy. And besides that, I'm the singer. And so I never sent in my RSVP. And she said, "But the reason I'm crying is because," she said, "someday people are going to stand at the greatest reception of all. And their name is not going to be in the book. The name is not going to be in the book because they never made reservations with Jesus." And that's what broke her heart that day. You see, friends, we can stand at the judgment seat of God someday and say, yeah, but I went to church. Yeah, but I got baptized. Yeah, but I had a couple classes. Yeah, but I gave to my neighbor and I was a pretty good person. But if we never made preparations through faith, surrendered, total surrendered faith in Jesus Christ, the elevator's not going to stop at the basement. It's going on down lower. That's what she was crying about that day, thinking about the reality that a whole lot of folks someday are going to stand at the greatest reception of all, and the elevator's not stopping at the basement. I wonder where you're at today, brothers and sisters. I'm not your judge, but God knows your heart. You see, if we don't recognize some point in our lives to surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord, to recognize that God loved us so much He sent His only Son, that He would shed His blood on that cross so that we could have forgiveness of sin, but we have got to receive Him by faith. We've got to confess our sins, to believe in Him, and to receive Him by faith, or we're not going to the greatest reception ever. Heaven will never be our home. And I wonder where you're at today with that. We're going to close in a song. It's called "Softly and Tenderly." Jesus is calling, "O sinner, come home." Friends, have you made preparations? Do you know that you know you're going to heaven because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you have repented of sin, you have invited Christ to be Lord over your life, and you said, "I'm going to be His follower, so come into my life and take over." Have you made preparations, friends? Because if you haven't, don't count on a whole lot more years to make preparations. It may not happen. We're going to stand and sing this song together. And if you're not sure, I want to pray with you today. Richard is here. He'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. If you're not absolutely sure, friends, get right with God today. Don't keep putting it off. Tomorrow may be too late. Make sure you don't hear those same words that Ruth Anna heard, because it's going to be a whole lot more serious if we haven't made preparations with Jesus. Knowing about God is one thing. The devil knows about Him too. Matter of fact, the devil believes in Him. But there must come a time in our lives when we are born again in our spirit. And that happens when we confess our sins, acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, and invite Him to come into our lives and take control, because we want to be His follower. That's when it happens. If you're not sure you've ever done that, let us pray with you today while we're singing this song. Let's go ahead and sing this song and recognize that our home is heaven when we've made preparations.